What is up, Knoll Nation? It's the guys from Plant the Spear back with you for another episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Michael, spring is a wrap. They are officially done with spring camp. We got to see the spring game on Saturday. That was fun. Our first chance to really look at this team. We're going to go through and kind of dissect, do you feel better or do you feel worse at the end of spring? And I think it was interesting because we had really high hopes coming into this spring. I think those hopes and championship aspirations are still right there. And I just think when you look at the spring game, there's been some mixed reviews. You know, there's been some comments both ways, and we're going to dive into that and kind of see where maybe we need to worry a little bit and where we feel a little bit better at. So before we jump into that, Michael, thank you so much for joining me, and how are you, my friend?
Hey, Jesse, thanks for having me again. Yeah, you know, I agree with you. You know, we came in the spring with excitement because we had all these new pieces and just puzzles to figure out and a lot of unknowns, uncertainties, probably that's a better word, uncertainties,
right,
as it relates to, you know, certain position groups. And I think the spring left us with more answers than questions in some ways, but I don't think the spring diminishes the prospect of the team. I still think this is a championship level team, at least on paper so far. I think the spring just gave us a little bit more to think about, and which makes the fall camp all the more exciting, as well as we're still in the transfer portal time of the calendar. So we're still trying to figure out, because Florida State needs to get under that threshold. So who's going to be transferring out? We already know of two. And so we already know of three. And so we're just waiting to see who else might jump in there.
Yeah, so far, I think now with that, you bring up a couple of good points. And depending on when you're watching this, on Monday, April the 22nd, Florida State is now able to go in the portal. We know they had, correct, because of the sanctions and all that, the one time the NCAA decided to wake up and do anything, Florida State did have to deal with a little delay getting in the portal. So they are able to go shopping now. And I think this also, at the end of spring, you kind of see some areas where maybe you feel like you need to go get some help. And we're going to talk about that as well. But I think before we jump into this, Michael, let's first also remember that this is, like, by the time we saw the spring game, that was your 13th practice.
That's right.
Then they followed it up with number 14 the day after. This team, like you mentioned, had a lot of new faces, a lot of new pieces, a lot of guys that are talented that we're excited about. But that also means a lot of this team at really key positions have only had 12 practices together.
That's right.
And so, one, I don't think it's worth overreacting this early in the game. When, I mean, think about how good you would be after 12 practices. I mean, you got it. That takes a lot of time.
Not very good still.
Right. 200 practices, I still probably wouldn't be a starter, but that, I think that is important to remember. And then also the fact that this was one basically open practice.
That's,
you know,
right,
that's really what we got to witness. So you can't overreact to this, but I think can take some things from it. Now, I think first off, the biggest reaction of the weekend might have been, Michael, man, Doak is in a transitional phase, and they have a long way to go before the season starts, because she was looking a little rough on Saturday, but you know, it's, again, we know they're in that transitional phase, but man, September's coming quick and they got a long way to go.
I'm real curious, Jesse, how they're going to make this look for the football season. You know, it's like, you know, I hate to use the best analogy I can think of is somebody walking in without, you know, makeup on or something. I don't know. It looked real bad. It looked bad. Let's just call it what it is. It looked bad. You know, that whole west side just being completely just a big wall holding up the top broadcast booths and all like that stuff. And even the east side, you could tell where they're already starting to, like, separate out some of those bleachers. I mean, all the fans were contained to the east side and the upper east, and then to the end zones as well. And it's just, yeah, I'm just really curious. You know, you and I are season ticket holders, so, you know, we still haven't even picked our seats yet.
Right.
And so I'm still trying to figure out all what that's going to look like. It was a very weird sight. You know, I'm 38, and so I've been a Florida State fan for, gosh, most of my life. And to see Doak look like that was just, man, that was jarring.
It's going to be awesome when it's done. And so I know it's going to be worth it, but man, it is crazy to see. I'm surprised they even had the game there.
Yes.
But speaking of unusual sights on Saturday in Tallahassee, Michael, they broke out the turquoise jerseys. And
they,
you know,
did.
I'm not going to lie, man. I kind of like them. I think they look good in pictures. I think it didn't quite look as good out on the field in the daylight, maybe for a night game or something like that. You know, I love the reasoning behind it, and I think people have to keep that in mind when you see the turquoise colors, that it is the heritage jerseys. It is paying tribute to the Seminole heritage. But, you know, this is maybe not something for every game, but I think maybe on occasion. I think it was a good look, but not something I'd like to see quite every Saturday. What did you think of the turquoise jerseys?
Yeah, you know, I love what they stand for. I love the heritage and connection to the Seminole tribe and their color usage. I think it's a beautiful collection of colors. And again, what they stand for, the tribe pride that it represents, I think those are incredible. I think as far as wearing them, you know, I thought it was cool to pay homage to that and use it during the spring and let it be the non-contact jersey. I thought was a good thing. Yeah. If we're going to wear them during the season, like I said to you in the pre-show, I think we should only do it one game, and it should be a game that we're 99% guaranteed to win. And I think that would be a good homage to that. Outside of that, and not to be offensive, yeah, I'm just a traditionalist. I like I like the traditional colors. Honestly, if it were up to me, we'd go back to the uniforms, you know, before the 2014 season. The originals, my favorite.
I love the turquoise blue. Like, the color is beautiful itself.
Yes.
It's just weird, you know, because when you're a primarily red garnet team,
yes,
the way blue looks, but at least it's jarring. Not orange. Because at least it's not orange. I don't think that could happen. I think it was also cool to see a lot of former players around. I saw Verse there, I saw Jordan Travis. Of course, they honored the 99 team. Now,
Amari Gaynor was there.
Shout out to Amari Gaynor, like an old blooded man coming back to Doak for the spring game. That was pretty cool to see. Now, speaking of guys we didn't see, I saw Armella did not participate. Cam Davis.
Correct.
Of course, we had Brock Glenn and Luke Cromenhawk. Josh Farmer was out as well. So there were some guys. Also didn't see Jaden Jones at the defensive end position. So you were down a number of guys. And I think that is important to remember as well, that there will be some guys who did not participate who will be starting during the season. And that, of course, changes how things look. But some of the overall takeaways that I had digging into this spring game, Michael, I did like the communication as a whole. Mm-hmm. I think when you watched the defense, even the young guys, you saw a lot of guys that were communicating where to line up, what they were seeing. I thought you saw a lot of good on-field communication. I liked the energy. I think there were some hard hits. There was a little bit of brother-in-law out there, as we used to call back in the day, where, like, you know you're going against your teammate. But there was also some unforgiving hits out there. You know, they had a couple of them where they wasn't the most team-friendly hits. So I actually did like to see that. And then I know something we talked about as well was the team size and the speed stood out. That was really some of the overall standouts for me before we get into each side of the ball here.
Yeah, I mean, just very quickly, as soon as the broadcast came on and you start seeing the players, you automatically, what jumped off the TV was, man, these guys look, and I don't know how it's possible, but they look bigger than last year. They look faster than last year, especially the defense. Man, they're flying around. It looked like they were far and ahead where we were last year as a defense. I think the offense, I think there was speed. You saw speed on the offense. Yeah. You saw size on the offensive line and in the receivers, the running backs. Man, they look like big tanks out there running around. And you see the difference in quarterback. Like, there were multiple times where I was just watching DJ run. And if it was live, you know, when Jordan would run, I'd just hold my breath. Like, okay, please just get down, you know? Yeah. And obviously we saw what happened when it didn't happen the one time. But with DJ, I noticed I never tensed up. I never got, maybe because I knew it was a non-contract, but also, like, just looking at the size of him, it's going to take like a big Mack truck to hurt that dude.
Yeah, I agree, man. DJ, he's got size, but I think he did actually look more fit than I expected. You know, you'd heard a lot of talk about coming in at 255. I think he does carry it well. And let's just jump into DJ, because I think that really was the hot topic of the day. You had a lot of really kind of back and forth on that one. A lot of people thought maybe it wasn't a big deal. There's a lot of kind of panic going on over DJ so far. And so I want to talk about a few things for that. Now, the first thing I do want to mention is I want to go back to where we said he's had 12 practices prior to the spring game. So not only has he not had a lot of time to, one, learn this offense, like, how much install do you think they really had?
Right.
And then also, that's only been 12 practices to really get on the same page with timing with their receivers. So I think that does make a big difference, too. I think when you talk about DJ on the day, he had a rather, you know, relatively pedestrian performance. That's fair to say. I'm not going to hype up something that it wasn't. But I think we knew coming into this, DJ was going to be a high floor project type of quarterback. And I don't know how much you can expect him to get better in 12 practices. You know, I think you're in that point of time, you're still learning the offense. You're still getting on the same page with your receivers. So it's something that I think you're going to see going into the fall and summer, where that's what's going to have to develop with more time. You just need more time. I do think there were some good things, and I think there were some negatives to take away from it. Now, I also think when we get into this, you have to mention the wide receivers. I was a little underwhelmed by them. I also will say some of the wide receivers, I mean, you had a true freshman quarterback in there. So if you'd have had Brock, I think I really would have liked to see Brock. I think Brock might push DJ a little bit more than we thought originally. Yep. But from what the broadcast said, and I saw different numbers out there, DJ, you finished the day 12 of 26 for 177 yards and no touchdowns through the air. Now, I think what's important to remember, because those numbers are relatively pedestrian, we know DJ has had a kind of subpar completion percentage. That's the one thing that we wanted to see get better. But I was able to go back and watch this multiple times, kind of slow things down. And I accounted for at least four drops that I could see, because on the spring game tape, they didn't really show every single play. Watching from home. So I counted about four drops. One of those was a touchdown. That was a 13-yard pass.
Yep.
And then I also counted about six throwaways. And one of those wouldn't have even happened if they'd have caught the touchdown pass. So I think when you look at the completion percentage, a lot of that was drop passes and throwaways. And that's important, because if you look at just, if you just take away the drops, I mean, you're looking at he's around 16 of 25 for 200 yards and a touchdown. That sounds a little bit better. That doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah.
Now, I think the positives that you saw from DJ, I think he did make some good reads on the read option plays. I think he's going to be able to be a vital part of this run game for you. He pulls the ball well. They had a fake screen. I'm not sure if that was either like they called it as a fake, which they did run it again later in the game, or he just read it and was able to pull the ball. And it worked beautifully. So yes, I think you are going to see him be able to move the ball and move the pocket is what I'm looking for, and run the ball. I think that's going to be good too. It looked like when Keziah had that long touchdown run, it looked like DJ might have checked into that play.
Yep.
So it means he's starting to see things, and that's what you do want. Now, he had a couple nice throws. I want to give him credit for that as well. He had a sideline to Benson, which was, first off, that was a display of Malik Benson, but we'll get to that. Also had a nice one to Portier and a nice one over the middle to Williamson. So you saw some of the throws. I think some of the short throws were there as well. It wasn't always pretty, though. Some of them were off target. Some of them were into coverage that probably shouldn't have been thrown. Marvin Jones Jr. almost had a pick on a batted ball. He threw into double coverage one time that I think Azarie dropped the pick. So you saw some things there that kind of need to get a little bit cleaned up. There was a couple of throwaways where the running back was open underneath, where he just missed the read. But again, I think it's 12 practices in to a new offense with new guys, from a quarterback that's been inconsistent throughout his career. This is about where you would kind of expect. Now you just hope he can progress into the summer and the fall.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think with DJ, the hope that I had was that he would look competent, that there was a clear grasp of the concept, not necessarily everything that Mike Norvell's trying to do, but the concept of what they're trying to run, as well as to see some improvement on the accuracy. And I think there were, like you said, I think there were parts of it where you saw, like, he made some great throws. That throw to Benson had to be put in the right place for Benson to make that spectacular catch. That throw to Portier had to be put in the right place for that to be matched. There was a throw that he threw across the middle to Williamson that I thought was holy cow. Like, when he is on, he is on. He stepped back. He had power in his front foot, right, coming off his back foot. Was into the throw. He led the receiver. It was a great throw. But then you saw other throws. There was another throw he had across the middle to Williamson again. That was, now Williamson should have cast it because it touched his hand. And, you know, I have the theory, if the ball touches your hand, you should catch it.
Yeah.
But the ball was behind Williamson. It could have been picked. There was another pick that DJ Lundy batted up in the air and didn't have. Yeah. He didn't get the pick there. And so you saw some of that. You saw the short game inaccuracies that we had been talking about over the course of who DJU is since he's come on to this program. I thought, you know, when he ran, you saw that decisiveness of running. there would have been so many runs that would have been first downs had it been a real game, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
That play that you talked about, it was actually a triple option screen setup. So he had the wide out, all the way wide out, two wide receivers in the front to block. He had the read to the back, and he had the pull for him to run. And I even texted you when it happened. I said, oh, my gosh, what a read there. Because he pulled it. Man, the DN crashed in, and he was gone. He could have ran for a good 30, 40 yards, right, before being touched. But, you know, they blew it dead and everything. It was just such a great read. So you could see that it's coming. Again, this is 12 practices. Now, we're not naive. I know you're not, Jesse. I'm not, to believe that DJ is going to be this perfect quarterback. He's going to get this all fixed. Yeah. What I trust most is that Norvell and Atkins will set him up very well with the play calling in the season. They'll give him those reads that are easy enough for him to connect with. And those more difficult ones, they're going to make in a way that he's probably on the move, because he's actually a little bit more accurate when he's on the move. You saw that a little bit in the spring game as well. It's really going to be on DJ this summer and those wide receivers to get on the same page. And I know we'll talk about the wide receivers in just a second, but they did him, outside of some of those good catches, they did him very little favors in the spring game or spring showcase. Sorry.
Right. And we're going to get to the receivers in just a second, but I agree, man. I think with DJ, I think you saw him kind of understand the concepts well, which is what you wanted to see. It's just the execution that has to get cleaned up. But that's, again, that's a receiver timing thing. That's a coaching thing. Right. That's a summer into fall thing. I think also, if it doesn't turn out like you want, just to say, if Brock Glenn can stop missing time, I think you feel good about him being able to step in. It's just he keeps missing time.
Right.
But I do think, again, with DJ, I think you did have some instances there where you saw the arm talent on display. You saw where he can chunk the ball. But like you said, it's just there's a couple little things that you know have to get cleaned up that changing a jersey wasn't going to fix. Like it wasn't just going from one program to the other, some kind of magic pill. It's going to take time. And so, like you said, I think it also had a lot to do with the receivers, which, man, there was a lot of throwaways. And I think that when you look at DJU, his game in the past, it was consistent with what he's had. He doesn't take a ton of sacks. He throws the ball away a lot, which leads to some of that lower completion ratio. And while we don't have the all 22s, when I tried to go back and watch, sometimes like, okay, did he just miss somebody open when he threw it away? Not really. And I think that speaks to the secondary, who also had a really good day. But I think it speaks to wide receiver, which is, to me, it became a concern. So I think when you look at quarterback, and we'll round out quarterback here, with not getting to see Brock Glenn, I'd say, do I feel better or worse coming out of spring? I'd say I feel a little worse, but not by much. I almost call it even. I think it's more like you understand DJU has to make the progression. I think maybe the floor is a little bit lower than we thought. But I also think that, again, 12 practices in is too early to judge. I'd say it's probably a wash here at quarterback.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to go with you in the more wash category. I think it's a wash, and here's why. Because what was one of the complaints we had, if we're comparing, because that's what we're doing. That's what everybody's doing right now. We're comparing this quarterback to the Uber star we had for the last couple of years, to Jordan Travis, right? But the complaint about Jordan Travis was the fact that he could throw the short ball. He could get everybody, you know, that medium route, but his deep ball was a problem, right? That he wasn't, you know, in 22, he was connecting on more of them, but he was still missing a lot of them. And in 23, I mean, we connected early on a lot of them, and then it just was not happening towards the end of the year before he got injured. Well, the difference here is that, man, when DJ went deep, it was there more times than it wasn't, right? When DJ went short to medium, you got mixed results. Right. And so all we did was exchange, well, besides the body and the running, all we did is exchange one strength for another strength, right? And so now what needs to be worked on is just short to medium. That short to medium accuracy doesn't get fixed in the spring. It gets fixed in the summer. Right. It's the summer. Yep. It's him getting on the same page, them running the route after route after route after route over and over again, and then bringing in some DBs to try to interrupt those routes so that he could continue to work on how to lead the receivers, how to make sure to get the ball in front of them, how to get the DBs looking different ways, right? It's all those things that get developed in the summer that then get refined a little bit more starting in that preseason fall camp. And so to me, it's a wash because one, we didn't get to see Brock Glenn because he was out again.
Yeah.
And then two, Jackson's a freshman. So you knew that you knew you weren't going to get much from him. He's still learning. He just got here. He's still trying to put this all together. So it's a wash for me. Come back. Let's come back in the fall. And once we start seeing those practice reports and videos and things like that, we'll have a better handle on, okay, are we going to have to like really compensate for the run game? Because the pass game just won't be as electric as it has been. Or is this just we're exchanging one for the other?
Yeah, and I think you have to remember when in the era of like portal days, when you're getting new people, it's going to take time to learn that new offense. It's not like they had that redshirt year where they sat at the bench. You know, it's not like Brock Glenn has been here for a year learning the offense. So there's going to be some adjustment there. Now, let's transition to the group that I felt maybe had one of the best days overall, and that's the offensive line. Man, I know we came into this spring. We were kind of looking for the offensive line to have a good day because you had heard some practice reports that maybe they didn't have the greatest spring camp. When I went back and watched, I think early on that starting defensive line gave them a little bit of trouble.
It did.
You have to remember how good they are. I think the offensive line did good in pass pro, and I thought they had some really bright spots on their run blocking too. And man, I really think the star of the day up front was Darius Washington.
Yeah.
He looked really, really good. I mean, he stalemated a lot of guys that were really talented defensive edge rushers. I think the biggest concern for me up front right now is Jeremiah Byers at the opposite of him at offensive tackle. Yep. I think Aaron Hester, who's the guy that's like a redshirt sophomore, kind of was in his grill all day
long. Gave him the business, yes.
Right, gave him the business a little bit. But overall, man, I think outside of like maybe looking for some help at offensive tackle, I was really impressed by this group. Obviously, you hope TJ Ferguson, who went down with an injury, hope he's okay. But I think you saw him and Richie Leonard get a lot of burn. You know, really kind of the only guys that you saw kind of get, you know, a whiff here or there on a pass block with some of the younger guys that were in when Trevor Jackson was playing quarterback. But overall, man, I feel better about the offensive line than I did going into spring. And I think as we transition into running backs next, I think the run game is going to be A-okay for this team. And I think it's going to be a really big part of the offense. I think you're going to kind of see that 2022 run game come back to life.
Yeah, you know, earlier, the defensive line gave the offensive line some fits, but I thought as the showcase went on, you started to see them create holes. I think I texted you. I was like, Counter looks so much better now. And this is against an all-caliber championship, you know, defensive line without Josh Farmer, right? So, we got to remember he didn't play. So I wonder if it would have maybe been a little bit worse had he played. But
which, man, they did show him standing on the sideline. Goodness gracious. That's a massive human being. God,
I saw a picture of Daryl Jackson today and I was like, gosh, because they didn't really zoom in on him that much in the showcase. Yeah. But I saw a picture of him today standing out in the field. I was like, my, what are they feeding this dude?
Exactly.
But, yeah, I thought the offensive line looked smoother. I agree with you, man. Because we don't know what that looks like with Julian Armella because he didn't play. You know, I still think there's a little bit of questions that we have going into the fall there. I think if a surefire offensive lineman becomes available and like you're like, this guy's got 30 starts and he's an all conference, whatever, I think you need to go get him just to make sure, and especially if it's a tackle, just to make sure you got that shore up, man, because there's no quicker way to demoralize an offense if that offensive line cannot get that five going. But overall, I felt much better. I think I told you that was a concern for me going in based on the practice report and what we were reading. So I thought that was great. I thought the running backs did awesome. I think I texted you like, man, Toll Feely, Kaziah Holmes showed out. Yeah. Singleton had a great run. Jalen Lucas, you know, people keep calling him a gadget, you know, player, but I don't think he's a gadget. I think you can just put him in different spots and locations. There was one play where he was playing with Jackson and it was a read and he got the ball and the man just found a hole that was so small and he was gone for like 30 yards. Also, Roydell Williams, I am way more impressed with him coming out of this spring than I am any other running back. Here's why. Because I was thinking this big Alabama running back, you know, how's he going to, you know, I'd heard comparisons to Trey Benson, which is, I was like, I don't know about this. There was a play where he actually had to get skinny and then broke off a 15-yard run. I was like, okay.
Yeah. And I want to touch on the offensive line. I think also one thing to keep in mind is the health of Robert Scott. We don't know if he's going to be available for the season or not.
That's true.
You know, if he's available, maybe you're fine there. I still think an offensive tackle in the portal is not a bad idea because you haven't been able to rely on him health-wise. But, yeah, man, I think piggybacking off of the offensive line to the running backs, I think they had a really good day. And that's also keeping in mind that we didn't get to see Cam Davis, which was unfortunate because I really wanted to see him. But I think when you talk about Jalen Lucas, man, that speed and that change of direction is next level. You didn't see him line up a lot in the slot and areas like that, which I think you will see once they get into the season. But, man, I mean, they lined him up as a true running back a couple of times, which was a little surprising with his size, but I think he was still able to find some holes, like you said, man. Yep. I think that's going to be a real dangerous weapon. I was actually on a podcast the other day, and the guy was telling me that they interviewed an Indiana guy, and they said that, like, this guy is an X factor, but Indiana did not use him correctly.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I love hearing that because he has sounded like he is what we brought him in to be in camp. So I think just – the depth of this running back room, pending you don't lose anybody to the portal, is next level. And Roydell Williams was one of my offensive breakout players for this season.
Yeah.
I think you got to see on display the example of power and patience, which I think is what makes him so exciting. You know, he almost reminds me of like a Le'Veon Bell type of guy where, you know, he can like get up to the line and it's almost like he stops.
Yeah.
And then he waits for things to develop and then he hits the hole. And we saw that one time, I believe it was on his touchdown run. Man, I mean, the guy's just, I think he's a little faster than I thought, too. So I like to see that as well. Toa Philly is Toa Philly. You didn't see him a lot. He was there early on. Then he kind of hung it up for the day. I don't think there's any concern there. Keziah Holmes, like we said, man, this is a guy I've been waiting to see him get his opportunity
for a long time.
I think he is. I think he can be that good. He's got incredible speed for his size. Got to work on the ball security a little bit. Yep. Did have a fumble there, but you know, you did see him get that touchdown run. And you know, I bet Shaheem Brown probably doesn't want to step in front of him again next time because he lowered his shoulder. He trucked him. So that was kind of funny to see. But Sam Singleton, like you said, man, had another nice run. He's that guy where every time you see him touch the ball, you're like, wow, who's that?
Yeah. And why isn't he playing more? Yeah.
Exactly. So, man, I think for me, running backs coming out of the spring, I already felt good. I think I feel even better, of course, knowing that this is pending whether you lose anybody or not. But I feel better about the running backs coming out of the spring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I felt great about them going into the spring, and I feel just as good coming out of the spring. So I don't know if that's a wash or better, but yeah, I feel like you have the different backs you need for the different scenarios and situations.
Yep.
But you also feel like, and I don't know if you felt this way, Jesse, I also feel like it doesn't matter which back you put in that different situation, they're going to be able to do what you ask them to do. Like Toa Philly, I think, yes, he's more of that scat, get you speed, you know, a little bit of power. But if you put him down in a third down situation, I feel like he's going to find a way to get it. Roydell is that power back who has some surprising speed. But I think if you need him to kind of get what I saw when he got skinny in the hole, I was like, okay. Keziah Holmes is like a combination of both in some sense of that way.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you got Jalen Lucas, who reminds me, I think what I was thinking about was he has a Trayshawn Ward, but faster than, you know.
Yeah, I think we talked about that the other day when we were worried about people that were transferring because you had so many guys that were similar in size and stature, but they also kind of have an individual but yet similar skill set, which is exciting. Now, maybe you don't put Jalen Lucas in on like a third and goal or something like that, but you might could just like, you know, fling him over the top of the pile or something like that, just throw him into the end zone. That might be kind of cool. I don't know if that's against the rules.
This is our fling 22 play, fling 22.
Exactly. So I like it. But, man, I do think a group that you already felt good about, you feel even better about coming out of spring again, pending you keep everybody in the boat. Now, the first group we got tight end to talk about too. We won't bunch them in with receiver, but let's get on to receiver. Someone that I don't feel as good about this group coming out of spring as I did going into. I said recently on another show where I thought this was a group that you really liked from an athletic perspective, from a potential perspective, but you didn't love them from right. a experience perspective, because you have guys, again, like Malik Benson. He has to be okay. That there is no ifs, ands, or buts. Now, it looked like it was an ankle, right. probably a sprain. Didn't look like anything overly serious. He didn't have a air cast or anything like that right. on when they carted him off for x-rays and things like that. You're going to need him to be okay, because he looks legit. He showed you flashes right. of going up to get the ball. He's got the speed. I think Portier had some good moments. Also, some Portier moments. You, That's you right. know, a couple drops and things like that. Darion Williamson, again, kind of a little bit inconsistent on the day. Jakai Douglas did have one drop, but I mean, he's Mr. Reliable in the slot, so you feel good there. It's just, will Destin Hill be okay? Is he going to be available? Because he's been out for most of spring. That injury does not sound promising. We don't know the yep. details of it, but there hasn't been a lot of positive talk around that. I think Jaylen Brown showed some nice speed on an end around, but yep. you know, didn't really do a whole lot in the pass game. I think he was mostly on Trevor Jackson's offensive side of things, which does hurt. Hakeem had a really quiet day.
Very quiet.
I think, where, man, it's just, I think when you look at this receiver group as a whole, obviously anybody would want Keon Coleman. I mean, there's no doubt. If you would say Keon Coleman's in the portal again, you go get him. Well, no kidding. Everybody would go right. get him. But I think it just shows that even when you have a guy that came from Michigan State, not necessarily an Alabama or Washington or a team that made the playoffs, he put up 600-plus yards. He put up 100 yards and a touchdown against Michigan in a rivalry game. Those are things you can take to the bank. I feel like Malik Benson has unlimited potential. Jakai Douglas is a known commodity. Other than that, there's not many here that we can take to the bank. And, right. and for me to really accelerate this offense, pending, you could still lose someone because you still yep. have 13 receivers. Man, I think you got to go find somebody, and I think it needs to be a game-changing type of wide receiver. And if it hurts somebody's feelings, it is what it is, because I think that's going to put you this offense to the next level. Because right now, I think wide receiver has come out of the spring as your biggest concern.
Yeah, I would agree. This is not a red alert for me. Like, oh, they're in trouble. This yeah. is not. This is not 2021 or 2020 or 2019 or 2018 or. Gosh, even 2017, where we didn't really have that dynamic. You know, we had Tamarion Terry, but right. if you weren't throwing it deep, I don't know what else you were doing with him, right?
Right.
So it wasn't – this is not that. This is not a red alert. It's definitely a yellow to me.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like a dehydrated yellow.
Yeah.
you yes, need to drink some more water yellow.
Yes, you need to drink some more water. Yeah, this is a concern. Watching that, and you and I both went back and watched it again. I was not impressed outside of the couple, great catches that happened, which even the worst wide receiving crew could do that. I was not impressed with it. I was more frustrated by the drop balls, which we heard about from practice reports. They continued yep. in the spring. Now, again, I caution everybody, including myself, including us, to say it's only 12 practices. This is the first time this group and pass catcher was in the same boat together. This was a group that on paper, you thought, oh, man, the talent is there. It right. is there. It is glorious. They're bigger. They're faster. Man, it's there. But we knew by experience there's going to be a lot of question marks. Well, the spring confirmed that those questions are not only there, but they're starting to glow loudly.
Yep.
I'm with you. If there is a surefire, this guy's got 600 yards, seven touchdowns, 40 to 50 catches, and you got to go get him, because yep. right now you just don't have that. You don't know with Destin Hill, what that injury looks like. Williamson showed a little bit of flashes, but he always shows a little bit of flashes.
Right.
We don't know. Yeah. I mean, Portier had a flash. We don't know if he's going to remain healthy. Hakeem, again, MIA for spring, right? Didn't hear much of him. Malik Benson, you saw. I think he's probably the only one that you saw, okay, we see it, right? And even though he didn't produce a lot at Alabama, you saw what he could do, but he's injured. So, whatever that injury, how long that's going to be, that's going to determine what his summer looks like.
Yeah.
You just have no, and Jakai Douglas, you kind of know what you're getting with him. You just have no sure answer. These are our wideouts. This is what we're going to go to war with. You have a lot of puzzle pieces that you're still trying to figure out. And I think if I'm Alice Atkins and Mike Norvell, I'm a little concerned. And so, yeah, I'm looking at the portal, but I'm also telling DJ and those wide receivers, hey, you want to play here? You want to play for Florida State? This is the standard. You better be spending your butt on the practice field every day this summer, running those routes.
And I think when you look at it from Florida State trying to compete for an ACC championship and make the playoff perspective, that is important to remember. I think when you just look at the position groups along the offense and you just think about what adding another, if you could get it, Keon Coleman type of receiver would do for this offense. It would do worlds for this offense. So I think you just see where it's like, okay, can you get by without it? And again, I do want to couch it with the other side of the offense, with Vandrevious Jacobs, with Jaylen Brown, with a lot of the guys that we know that we were hoping to see break out. They had a true freshman quarterback that they didn't let throw the ball a lot. So you didn't see a lot of guys really get a fair shake at things. I think some of the catches that Portier and Williamson made were against some backup DBs at times too. Now, I do want to comment on Benson's catch over Fentrell Cypress, man. That was an absolutely amazing catch, but it was really good coverage by a really good DB. It was just a great catch. So that's why you saw that. That was against your starting corner. So, yeah, man, I think you need to go out and get a receiver, somebody in the portal. Hopefully, maybe you can find a big body type of guy. I don't think, again, it doesn't have to be from an Alabama or Georgia or anything like that. You just need someone who's been productive at the Power 5 level. Right. That would make me feel a lot better. So, lastly, to round out offense here, I think with tight end, it was a relatively quiet day. I think you had Jackson West that had kind of the one stone-handed catch, but he ended up coming down with it. You know, had a couple of nice moves into the blocking department. Kyle Morlock made one catch that was kind of a bobbling catch. Did see your boy Landon Thomas. He made a catch late in the spring. He kind of really didn't get any action early on, but did kind of come across there late. Not a dominant group. I'm going to say, you know, tight end was one where we had questions coming in. We wanted to see how Morlock progressed into year two. We wanted to see how Landon Thomas, how close to being ready he was. I'm going to say that I feel worse about this group coming out of spring. And I originally thought that maybe you could get by without a tight end. And I think if it's a numbers perspective, why maybe you have to choose one or the other. Maybe you don't take a tight end because you do have Brian Courtney in there as well. But I think if you have a good tight end come available, I think this is a position that you could at least explore just from the sake of man, I just didn't see anybody out there that was a game changer yesterday. And it's not that they're bad. It's not that they can't continue to get better. It's just, if again, from a keeping the glasses of ACC title and playoff projection, knowing that there are the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Michigans, the Clemsons out there, knowing that those teams will be waiting for you at the end of the season, I just didn't see a game changer at the tight end position. Now, is that available? I don't know. Will they go get it? It's hard to say. They already have six tight ends. Yeah. But to me, I don't think this would be a wasted opportunity to go get somebody who could change your offense.
Yeah, I was thinking about the tight end position, and I was trying to think back to last spring and the spring before that of did we really even think about the tight end position until the fall, until the season started? And I know we had Jaheim Bell last year, but I couldn't remember him sticking out, because did he get there before spring? Was he part of spring practices last year?
I think he was a late comer.
I think it was a late addition. And so for me, it was a wash, meaning I didn't feel any worse about it. I also didn't feel any better because, like you said, I mean, they got thrown to a couple times, but not really. And I don't know if that was by design or if that was the read, if the defense was taking away the tight end. And or, you know, that was the calls on the field. I'm not really sure. So I didn't walk away saying, oh, gosh, we need another tight end. I also didn't walk away saying, oh, my gosh, this tight end room is amazing.
Right.
I just kind of thought it is what it is. And we'll see more in the fall. Now, let's be real. Depending on how they want to leverage this tight end room, because I do think with your Landon Thomas, because that boy is massive, I do think that if he can grow into that, you have a Jaheim Bell 2.0 who could be that and hopefully stay injury free. I mean, we all just ugh about how dynamic Jaheim Bell could have been had he stayed injury free. Right. And so I really think that this could be an opportunity for more them to be poured into more during the summer. Again, this is really about getting with DJ and working on that. we'll see. So I walked away basically saying that's a wash. I'm not any worse or any better with the tight end position.
Right. I don't think it's going to kill you if you don't take one. I just think I would feel a little better if you did, because Landon Thomas looks the part, but again, as a true freshman, is he going to be ready for that role?
Right.
So that's just kind of where I sit with it. But you know what, Michael? You know who you don't have to worry about letting you down? Ooh. That's Alumni Hall FSU, yes. Today's sponsor. Look, if you're in Tallahassee or you're not, you can order online, have it shipped to the store, or you can order online, have it shipped to your door. AlumniHall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page. You're going to get great FSU gear at an even better price when you use code SPEAR to get 10% off. That's Alumni Hall FSU and code SPEAR. So we appreciate you guys for supporting those that support us. Now, let's flip over to the defense, who I feel had a really good day. And we'll pick up the pace just a little bit here. So let's talk about the defensive line starting up front. I thought they had a really good day. They gave up some runs, which I know probably drives them a little crazy. But again, we feel really good about it. It's like you talked about with the offense going against the defense. I mean, you had a really good defense that you were facing. So if you had just kind of ran through them like water, you'd have been worried. But I think so. It was good to see a little back and forth. Now, keep in mind, when you talk about giving up some runs, they also didn't have Josh Farmer. Like we said, down some of their starters, and they had to divide up a little bit. I mean, you couldn't just give the entire, batch of starters to only one side. So they did get some pressure, which I liked. I think the pass rush looked good. I think Marvin Jones Jr. looks legit. I think, there were some questions about him early on in camp, but I think he is looking like that former five-star that you wanted out of high school. He made some good reads as far as run defense. He was able to get pressure pretty often, which I liked. His get-off on the line is very quick. We also saw him drop into coverage, which is something that you hinted at last show, where we talked about, possible the portal show, where it's like you saw where he dropped back and he deflected a pass and almost picked it off. So I was extremely excited about MJJ there. I thought Byron Turner Jr. had a better day than, I think when in the portal episode, we kind of pushed him down the depth chart. Man, I thought he looked good. I think he might be in that two slot. He was quick off the line and gave good effort. As far as defensive ends, like we mentioned, I did not see Jaden Jones, so we didn't get a chance to see him. I think he is going to be part of the plans. You also had Patrick Payton, had a very limited number of snaps today, but I think he looked good. He had a couple of really good run reads, which is something that, man, I did have a note down here with Patrick Payton, Sione Loholeha, and Aaron Hester. They had some really good run reads where you saw them sit in the hole, read the read option, and then go make the tackle. And I thought those guys looked really good at the defensive end position. Durajaye was a guy that played inside a defensive tackle almost the entire scrimmage. He looked good, man. He's got a high motor. He's strong. He's quick. Looks like maybe he's getting used to that defensive line position. Maybe, playing as a little bit of an undersized defensive tackle.
Yeah.
When you're playing inside, I think he's around 280, 285, and you're playing against a 310-pound offensive tackle. At 30 pound, that's a big gap. But man, I really liked what I saw from the defensive ends. I think Aaron Hester might have won the spring game. I think he was all over the place and stood out on film, man. I was extremely excited about him. So, some thoughts on the defensive ends. I'll let you share yours. I will touch on, too, that it was nice to see Lamont Green Jr., who missed a lot of last year with some injury. He was able to get out there and flashed a few times, had two TFLs, I believe. Still a bit undersized, but, man, I think when you look at the defensive end position, I think you got so many pieces that you like. I think this is going to be one of the best defensive end rooms in the conference and in the country even.
Yeah, I mean, again, within the first five plays, okay, MJJ, Marvin Jones Jr., literally had a stuff run on back-to-back plays. He pressured DJU, right, on a bad throw, and then he had a great coverage, which you talked about, where he almost got the interception. That was the first five plays,
okay? Yeah.
So, listen, we're not saying that he's the next, Jermaine Johnson or Jared Verse or
but
whatever.
But he might be.
But he might be. This dude might be. So I thought that was great. Yeah, I thought the defensive line with the absence of Farmer still showed just a lot of great read, pressure, run stuffing. Yes, they did give up 163 yards on 29 carries at 5.6 yards per carry, I think it was. So not great, but also, like you said, they were mixed, right? They were mixed and match. And so some of that probably came on the second and third team D-line there. But I thought overall, man, I walked out of there feeling even better, knowing that once you add Farmer to the mix, hello.
Yeah.
So I felt better about the defensive line walking out of there.
Yeah, I think I feel a little better about the defensive line on the edge. I do. I think when you looked at all those pieces, I think everybody looked good. You saw a few times where Sione being a little bit undersized made it difficult for him to get a pass rush off. Maybe that's why, we saw coming out of Oregon State where he had a lot of pressures but not a lot of sacks. But, man, he reads the run so well.
Yes, he does.
I will say that, I think Hester's going to be a guy that can contribute if he stays around. I think another name that flashed for me was KJ Sampson, and I think that was really, really good to see. I think he was very noticeable on film. Man, he gets push. Like, he gets into the backfield, and I think that was needed because defensive tackle was a position that we thought they were thin at. It was the number one position I thought they needed to go to the portal for. I'm going to be honest, man. I still think you got to go to the portal. I was extremely underwhelmed by what I saw from Grady Kelly. And maybe that's just me personally. He got stalemated in one-on-ones quite often. Even against a couple walk-on offensive linemen, I noticed he was getting stalemated. And I hate to really kind of throw shade at anybody here. I mean, I'm sure, he's still new. He's still working through a strength and conditioning system program like Florida State's, coming from Colorado State. I just wasn't impressed at what I saw from him. He's not Braden Fisk. I'll just say it like that. Not everybody is, you know what I mean? Not everybody can be Braden Fisk, but I think when you see your top two guys are really good, I think you feel good about Daniel Lyons. I think you feel good about KJ Sampson. That gives you four guys. I mean, you're not extremely thin. And of course, I think Grady Kelly can be, he's going against a really good defensive or offensive line. I think he can be serviceable against Wake. I think he can be serviceable against SMU and teams like that. I just worry about when you're going against a team like a Georgia or a Clemson or a Notre Dame with a really good offensive line. He wasn't effective in the spring game. Now, again, very small sample set to be judging the guy on. We've heard some mixed reports throughout spring camp. I still think you have to go to the portal and get some help at defensive tackle. And like we talked about before, man, I'm not opposed to going maybe big game hunting, like maybe a Fabian Lovett, a strong number three defensive tackle.
Yeah, listen, I'm under the same opinion that you. I think at DT you got to go big game hunting. I think if you find one and it's there, you got to go get him. Now, I will say this about Grady Kelly. I saw some of the same things you did too, but I just want to remind Noel Nation out there is that last year at this same juncture in time, we were saying, there were reports out there saying, I don't know if Braden Fisk is going to be able to, I don't know if he's going to translate very well. There was some thing, I don't know, he got handled in this practice. He got, here. And then the real game started, and he became basically almost a top 2-3 round draft pick, right? Now, I'm not saying that's Grady Kelly. I'm not putting that pressure on him. All I'm just saying is, yes, he did not perform as well as he should have or could have, but I'm not giving up hope on it yet. There's a reason why they went after this kid, why they made him a priority in the portal. So until we see it in the game, I'm going to hold judgment on him.
I'm
going to give him the benefit of the doubt here.
I hope you're right. I just think with Fisk, you saw it. Even at Western Michigan, you saw the extreme amount of production that he had. Even like they played teams like Michigan State, and he still had a lot of plays on the highlight tape from against Power Five opponents. I don't know, man. It's not all going to be sunshine and roses on the podcast. I mean, every now and then you got to kind of throw a little cold water on and be honest, because I think it does. If we just blew all sunshine, then it would make you look bad. And I just, on tape, I didn't see anything that impressed me. So that's all I'm saying. If you can get a little bit of weight on him, and a little bit more time with Storms through the summer. Again, he's a newcomer too. I think if you can get him up about 10 pounds or so, maybe that makes a difference. But it's just, there wasn't a whole lot of push there. You know what I mean? So we'll wait and see. Let me
say this about KJ Sampson, because I did want to touch him real quick. I thought he really showed up. I sent you a text. I was like, KJ Sampson, because we had on the portal episode, we had talked about him potentially being somebody that might end up transferring out. But he really stuck out on the film. He stuck out on the TV copy. He showed for himself. So this might you could definitely see him being factored into the rotation during the season.
Right. I think he could be potentially what you maybe wanted Grady Kelly to be. And then Grady Kelly kind of just works in the rotation somewhere there as well. Right. Again, I'm not completely selling my stock on Grady Kelly. I'm just saying that I think after seeing everybody on the field, I think that my mind.
You're not buying more stock on Grady Kelly.
No, I'm not buying more. My mind did not change on the defensive tackles. I think you need one, maybe two if you can find them. Yeah. So let's go to a position group that I said was my most intriguing group to watch, and that's linebacker. I don't think it was all great. I don't think it was all bad either. I think the one thing I would have liked to see more was Blake Nicholson. I think you didn't see much of Lundy, but what you did see, he looked really well. I thought he was much better in coverage than we've seen in the past. We already know that he's a really good run stopper, but obviously he had a really nice PBU, which is something that almost turned into a pick, which is what you wanted to see. I think, man, the biggest takeaway from the linebackers to me, I think Blake Nicholson's going to be ready to go by the season. He just covers space so well. He was good in his pass pro or his pass coverage. I think Blake Nicholson, depending on what is out there in the portal, if you got to roll with him, I think he looks good enough. I think I was very impressed by Nicholson yesterday. Was he perfect? No. But I think you can see from a physical standpoint that he's ready to play the game. I think when you look at Justin Crier, I was actually impressed by the way he played linebacker he was very active in quarterbacking the defense. He was making sure guys were lined up. He looks like he understands the defense. He had a lot of reads that were in the right place. The biggest thing for me is from an athleticism standpoint. I think his closing speed is a little bit of a concern for me. There was a few times where you could see where he made the right read. They didn't throw the ball there, but if they had, he had a gap to close, and he didn't get there fast enough where it would have been a completion, and they turn it upfield. That's a little bit of a concern for me. Like I said, man, I still think you need help at linebacker, and I got to throw a little bit more. Man, I hate to do this, but I got to throw a little bit more cold water on you here. I was underwhelmed by Sean Murphy. It's not that I don't think he can be better. I think that when you look, he's a little light. He looks a little bit smaller than a lot of the other linebackers. And there was a lot of times where he just got blocked. I mean, he either maybe was out of place or just completely gets wiped off, you know, wiped out in the scrum. And so, man, I think I feel better about linebacker from a top three perspective, from a Lundy, a Nicholson, and a Crier. But I think beyond that, man, I think you got to go to the portal. I'm worried about linebacker to a degree.
Oh, man. Well, okay. All right. Well, you throwing cold water. I'm throwing straight ice on this thing. I'm going to be the bad person here. This is a red alert. I think I sent you a text and I said linebackers didn't stick out, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Well, then I went back and watched it. And I see all the things you saw. I think Blake Nicholson, yes, he covers well. I think he gets eat up, though, because of his size. I don't know if he's just there yet. Outside of DJ Lundy, man, I was underimpressed. Like, the negative of impressed with Sean Murphy. I thought Crier did, as you said, quarterback the defense well. But, man, if the ball had gotten thrown where it should have gotten thrown, He would have been so out of place because he couldn't get to the spots in time.
Yeah.
He didn't have the speed. I thought Sean, No, this is a red alert. We need two more linebackers at minimum in the portal. And I don't care whose feeling gets hurt in the linebacker core. And listen, I'm a big sunshine pumper, right? I will pump the sunshine.
I'm with you.
But this is not just cold water. This is a bunch of ice, a big block of ice being thrown on this group. This is disappointing that we're here at this point in time, and we're still dealing with this issue in the linebacker core. So I'm not impressed with that core. I really think that this whole, not all of them, but most of it needs to be a reset, and we need to go get some studs, just some productive speed. Right. Can eat up the run, because if not, a lot of this 163 yards, 5.6 per carry, it's not all on the defensive line. That's also on the linebackers.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I mean, there was like Roydell's, I mean, touchdown run. They bottled him up and the linebackers were sucked up into the scrum, right, and then he busted right through and nobody there waiting.
Nobody covered the right hole.
Just watching, like I said, man, I mean, I hate to be negative because we try and be one of the more positive podcasts out there. But I mean, like we said, I just wasn't overly impressed. Like I said, I really like what you have in DJ Lundy. I think that's your set. Pencil that in. You're good to go. I think he looks better than he ever has been. I think he's good against the pass and the run. I like DJ Lundy. Yeah. I think Nicholson is a gifted athlete. But other than that, and is he ready from a scheme standpoint? Time will tell. I think from a physical standpoint. I just don't think anybody else is up to snuff. I mean, really, like, again, if you're talking about a championship level defense or something like that,
right?
I mean, again, man, Cryer, he's thick, you know, he makes good decisions, but he's kind of slow, you know, and then that's Omar Graham Jr. was kind of out of place a lot. And Sean Murphy, I was just, man, I think Sean Murphy and Grady Kelly were my two biggest negative takeaways of the day with just like, man, they're not it right now. Yeah. And that can certainly change, but I just was not impressed by those two.
And they can prove us wrong. They could go into the season.
And I hope they do.
And I hope they do too. But from what we saw, based on what we saw on the spring showcase, this is not a group that I would be willing to take into the season with me to go to war with me to try to win a championship. I'm throwing a flag on this one.
Right. I mean, there's some work they got to do in the portal. I will say that. Like, I feel good about this team. You know, let's just go ahead and talk about DB, and then we'll go there. So, looking at the DBs, I thought they had a great day. I think you're set on the back end. I think they're absolutely loaded. Man, first off, I want to say they, of course, only faced one quarterback.
That's right.
And he was a new quarterback at that. But, man, AZ Thomas is just that dude. Like, I don't know that he gave up a completion all day. He was all over whoever he was covering. I think he's going to be just fine. Pencil that in, lock that down, no fly zone, you know, put up the signs, crash the planes, we're good. He's fine. I thought Fentrell had a solid day.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, the Benson catch, the coverage was good. The catch was
sometimes
great.
That happens, right?
Exactly. Like the thing on NFL, like you got mossed. Like, man, he was right where he was supposed to be, did everything he was supposed to do. He was in phase. You just got mossed. It is what it is by a really good receiver. But I'm not worried about Fentrell. You've heard really good things coming out of spring with him as well. I thought Quindarius Jones was a name that stood out. Yep. Man, he was noticeable all day, a lot of size. I think Conrad Hussey is a bully. There is no love lost for his teammates. I will say that. I love his talent. I love his aggressiveness. I don't think he's, from what I saw, I'm not sure I'm ready for him to be the starter at safety yet. I still think as far as his run fits go, and I think some of the just being in the right place at the right time, I still think he's got a little ways to go there. Yeah. I did see Devontae Brown running with the ones a little bit early on, so I think that may be a little bit of an option there. Kai Bates, of course, had a nice PBU. Edwin Joseph and Jabril Rawls both stood out. Shaheem, other than getting trucked once, that's hurt his pride a little bit. That's it. You know, overall, I think he was pretty good there. I think Earl Little had a little bit of an up and down day. He kind of had the one where I think it was Jackson West, where he kind of wrapped him up and maybe that would have been a PI there, fell down, gave up the catch. But overall, man, I am the least bit worried about the secondary. I think the young DBs, we didn't really get to see Charles Lester. I'm not sure.
No, if we
he
didn't.
Even, I don't think he even participated, but man, I feel like there's some young DBs on this team that maybe not in like a high stakes situation, but like a Wake Forest, a type of situation, some of those games, I think you're going to see them get on the field because there's some really talented DBs here.
Yeah, I left the spring showcase like if I had chips to push all in on Kai Bates, man, I'm really excited about that dude.
Yeah,
man, and he was the talk of Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Man, just people just raining in praise for him and just how he looked and played. So I thought that was great. AZ, please buckle the seatbelt, have you say crash the planes, put up the signs, tell the FAA to shut it down.
Exactly.
Yeah, that dude is the next DBU. I mean, that's what Florida State's known for, right? So he's definitely going to be that star. I thought Hussey looked good at times. I thought Shaheem Brown looked great, except for getting trucked. I mean, that happens to the best of us. If that was me, I would have never gotten up. So he got up. So great job, brother. You could see why, and I'll throw this back to you. I was really sad, not sad, but I was like, oh, I hated that Grady Vance transferred to USC, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that.
But also, I can understand why. There's so much talent on this defensive backfield. I mean, gosh. And so, yeah, I'm not worried. If anything, I think I felt better knowing that pass defense is either going to stay where it was or get even better than last season, which was one of the top pass defenses in the country.
Right, exactly. Because, I mean, again, you think about you had Cypress from last year. He should get better in your defense. Right. You know, Renardo Green came on, but now you have Azaria ready to step in. That's there, right. Already with a lot of experience. I did notice that it looked like Kevin Knowles played a little more corner.
He didn't
play safety a whole lot.
He had a no-contract jersey on, though.
Yeah, so. But I did see him moving down the corner, so that might be something to watch. We hinted at that before, so... I think overall, man, I think there was equal positives and then also some negatives to come out of this. I think you feel good about some areas. I think some of the question marks that you had going in were still question marks. I still think depth at defensive tackle is still a concern. I still think linebacker's a concern. I think that tight end could use a little bit, you know, and then wide receiver. So with that being said, let's go with what position do you feel the best about coming out of spring? For me, I'm going to go with offensive line. I think was the one position that I had a question with that I feel good now. I thought they would be okay. I didn't think they would be bad. And matter of fact, I think what's crazy about it was seeing some of the negative reports were kind of surprising to me. I was kind of like, really, bringing back this many guys, you know, with the new transfers that we like too. But I think a lot of that goes into when you have to rely on other people's opinions. That's right. You don't get to see it for yourself. From what I saw yesterday, I'm not worried about the offensive line. I think you legit have at least 6 to 8 guys that you feel really good about. Now, could you take an offensive tackle in the portal? Of course you could. Everybody could. But I feel good about this offensive line.
I feel good about the offensive line. I think the defensive back is the position I would choose that I feel great coming out of spring. The reason why I say that is because with offensive line, I think I'm always just naturally nervous. I think the middle to end of the Jimbo era, the Willie Taggart era, and the early Novello, I'm just tainted by those offensive lines.
That's
so fair. I'll never trust them until I see them in the season in game. But I did think, I agree with you, I think they got better. I felt the most positive on the defensive backfield. I mean, college football is a passing college football now. And so you need to have a top flight DB backfield. And so that's where I felt great about coming out.
Yeah, I 100% agree, man. I think the DBs are where you feel like you can hang your hat. And then having those defensive ends in front of them that performed very well, if you can get a pass rush off, man, that's really going to help them a lot. So now let's talk about the position that you feel the worst about coming out of spring. That maybe, and this is kind of a flip-flop, because we already talked about how, like, you know, whether you feel better or not during the breakdown. But what did you come into spring feeling good about that maybe now you don't? And for me, I'm going to go with wide receiver and tight end. I think you kind of combo both of them. You know, maybe if you had a breakout wide receiver room that you're like, okay, well, tight end, it can just be serviceable. Maybe if you had like that Jaheim Bell at tight end that you're like, we can flip him all over the field, maybe wide receiver's not as big of a concern. I think the problem is outside of Malik Benson, it doesn't feel like you have a sure-handed home run hitter in either group. And to me, that's a little bit concerning when – you know, maybe you don't have a quarterback like Jordan that can, you know, he still threw for 350 when he didn't have his receivers.
Right.
So, like, I think it's a concern that you need to help DJ out because DJ maybe still has a ways to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you caveat the question like that of, like, what you feel good about that you don't feel as good about, then the answer is obviously wide receiver. I mean, because everybody went in. Even though we didn't have the production, you had the talent. You felt like this room was so much better talent-wise on paper. But then what you saw in spring, again, caveat that with injuries, caveat that with only 12 practices, all those things are true. And so you kind of balance that. But still, though, you went from feeling, okay, like this could be really good to like, I'm not entirely sure yet. So I think, that's the position I went in feeling good about that now I have concern about. Now, if the question was, just real quick, if the question was, what's the position you just feel absolutely worst about? Well, you already know where I feel with that. That's the linebackers. But to answer your question, it's the wide receivers.
Yeah, and I think with wide receivers, like think about last year when you were going into the season, pre-Keon Coleman, whenever you were like, okay, you know, Poirier just had a great spring, you know, looking good. We got Johnny. He's back. He's got another year. Everything's looking good. And then when you got Keon, you were like, oh, man, look out. Like,
yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I think that's kind of where you're at this year. Like, okay, well, if we got to go there, we can. But I think if you could just get that one more piece that, and pending that Benson is okay and hopefully you get Destin Hill back as well, I think you could definitely afford to take a receiver in the portal. And that's really – that's the last section that I kind of want to go into is coming out of spring, where do you feel like you need help in the portal? For me, it's wide receiver without a doubt. I think D-tackle times two would make me feel a lot better. I don't know that you're going to get two, but I think you need to get at least one serviceable guy. I think linebacker is obviously a – like you said, it's a deep yellow. You know, we don't like orange around here, but it's a deep yellow flag. But again, man, I think like you said, if you look at Lundy, you look at Nicholson, and then maybe you can cover some of that a little bit with Marvin Jones Jr. if you can use him creatively. I still think you need one more guy. I think Cryer can be a rotational piece for you, but I think in a big game situation, I think you're going to need one more guy that's proven. And then to me, if you can make it make sense with the numbers and there's one available, I would take a tight end, but that's just me personally.
Yeah. Yeah. This wide receiver core kind of reminds me of Florida State going into the 2022 season where you were bringing in Johnny, you were bringing in Micah Pittman. Remember him? You know, and so you didn't really know what you were going to get out of them because, you know, Johnny had low production. Micah Pittman had been injured. And so you didn't see a lot in the spring. So you're like, I don't really know. And then, of course, you know, throughout the year, you know, Johnny really kind of took off. Pittman, you know, was, you know, back and forth there. So I think the same thing with this team. I think that's where I feel as a comparison is like, you just don't know. And depending on Benson's injury, you know, if there is an electric wide receiver in the portal, I think you go get him. I think the position you really need to go after is a linebacker position because in this 4-2-5 defensive scheme, those two linebackers make a huge difference. So if you feel super confident with not only Lundy, but also Nicholson, okay, great. And then you leverage Marvin Jones Jr. in unique ways. But I think if there's a really productive, as we've been saying for the last several weeks, Boston College linebacker, 40 starts and 200 tackles, I think you go get him. I think you go get him and you bring him in. I think that really needs help. I agree. I think DT, if you can get one, maybe two at most, I think it'd be great. I'm fine on tight end. I know you're not. I'm fine on tight end. I think they'll be what they are because I think Landon Thomas could be that game breaker for you. And Kyle Morlock is going to be that blocker and it can surprise you with a couple catches, you know, in a game. But I really think I think you're going linebacker, DT, and then a game changer wide receiver.
Yeah, I would almost like if you put like a level of concern for me, I would put maybe linebacker. Ooh, man. Mm. Wide receiver might be number one for me because really? I think if you're talking about from a simple standpoint of what it can do for your projection of the outcome of the season, like let's just say, for instance, if you don't take a wide receiver, man, I might put this team at 10-2. I think if you take a Keon Coleman, I think you're looking at 11-1, maybe even 12-0 type of team. Maybe. I mean, I still need to see more from DJ in some other positions.
Right.
I feel like linebacker, you need help if you want to truly run a 4-3. But I feel like in a way with linebacker and D tackle, it's an if situation where like if you lose one of your top two from either position, you're in trouble. As far as from like a championship level perspective, I think wide receiver, you have all the depth in the world. You just don't have, but like outside of Malik Benson, you just need that one extra piece. It's like I compared this team the other day. I said, it's like last year you had a couple of Ferraris here and there in the garage.
Yeah.
This year it feels like you kind of got a fleet of Corvettes. You know, you got that really high floor, but you don't really have those exotics up top that really changed the game for you. And I feel like at wide receiver, you have a lot of Corvettes. You know, you have a lot of good athletic, talented pieces. You have one Ferrari, and you're hoping that that's a flat tire, not a bent rim.
Yeah, true. I understand what you're saying. It's just that, man, the Keon Coleman getting into the portal was, in a sense, an anomaly. Because if you look at last year, when he got in the portal, there wasn't really much after him. It was him, and then it was like a huge gap of the next best wide receiver. And so I've talked about this before, but you understand this, Jesse. You play baseball. Is that is what is their war? What is their win above replacement? So if you're going to go get another wide receiver, you better darn well make sure that he is going to give you another win or two. If you're going to go get a same level wide receiver like, you know, like what we already have, then why upset the apple cart? Figure out what you do with them. But if he is a high win above replacement, like this guy can guarantee you a win in a really important game against Clemson, against Miami, against Notre Dame, then absolutely don't care who you tick off, go get him. But is that person going to come in the portal? We don't know. So that's the hard part. You do know a serviceable linebacker is going to be in there. You do know that. I mean, I saw today like six different DTs that entered the portal that I was like, Florida State might be interested in that.
Right. And keep in mind, too, something that we brought up on the portal episode, that SEC players who enter the portal cannot transfer to SEC programs and play in the fall. So there are going to be some options. And yeah, I mean, I don't know that lightning strikes two times in a row and you just happen to catch a Keon Coleman twice. Like, that would be amazing. Like you said, man, I think if it's better than what you got to go get it. You have to go get it. I think if it's close to the level, because again, man, I hate to base all this on one open practice.
Right.
With a true freshman quarterback throwing to guys like Hakeem, throwing to guys like Vandravius and Jaylen Brown. Like, those guys didn't have a fair shake. I would have loved to have seen what they did with Brock Glenn, a guy who's thrown to them for a year. So maybe when you see that, you're like, oh, okay, well, it's not that big of a deal. Because even then, you know, like, what if Jordan Travis had been your quarterback for the spring game? Do you feel different about the wide receivers? Is it a DJU thing? I just see where
that's a good point.
A lot of them didn't necessarily get separation against our DBs. Now we have a really good secondary, but you know, again, have you had fair quarterback play? Like a guy who was a system guy, who had been here for more than 12 practices, a guy who had timing with these receivers, would you feel as bad about the receivers? I would go out on a limb to say probably not, because Trevor Jackson, while I think he has great potential, and it was one heck of a steal to get him as a walk-on, he didn't do much through the air, and neither did DJ. So I think that you kind of have to take that into account as we get ready to round things out here, that it's probably not as bad as it seems.
Yeah.
You know, and things are maybe not be as good as they seem at other places. So I think that's usually kind of the way things go out of this, is you usually get takes that are a little hotter than the hot takes should be, and a little colder than they might need to be.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get that lost in translation that there's still a lot of new pieces. They still have all summer and all fall. I just think that when you step back and you look at what we've seen, I think those are the areas that we need to help to get us to where we want to be.
Yeah.
You know, we're not trying to win 9 games.
Right.
We're trying to win an ACC championship and go to the playoffs.
And go to the playoffs and try to win a national. Yeah. Again, these are hot takes based off of one open practice that we get to see.
Right.
You know, if we had access and we were there at every practice, it might be a little bit different. We might be a little warmer on some places, maybe a little colder on some places.
Exactly.
But this is all based off of us just being able to see one practice and reading the tea leaves of all the reports that we get to see. Now, also would say real quick is that this is the conundrum when you're watching team versus team, when they're on the same. Because if, let's say, DJU came out there and those wide receivers, and they're connecting on balls, they're getting separation, then you'd be like, oh, gosh, that's great. But this DB, oh, Lord, we're in trouble.
We'd be saying we're in trouble at DB.
Exactly. So it's kind of like you just don't really know how to – I mean, you do, but there are tangibles that you're looking for. And I think we're making speculation based on those little tangible things, not on the success of – separation, all like that, but like the little things you want to see, the crispness of each player and the individuality of the positions. I think that's where our takes are mostly coming from.
Yeah, and I think one to close out my thoughts on spring camp as a whole. I think one, you saw a lot of positives coming out of spring. I think there were some questions going into spring that were answered, like you said, coming out of spring, where you feel good about a lot of these pieces now. You feel fine. You know, all this could be squashed when we see what they do in the portal.
They may
go get three or four guys that could completely change the outlook of the season. I mean, that's the crazy thing about the portal. It takes literally one guy, maybe two guys, to change the entire outlook of the season. I still feel like this team is in a good place to compete. I still feel like you have size, you have speed, and you have talent on this roster. It's all there. It's just we're looking at things from a different perspective now. We're not looking at things like we said, we're not trying to make the Tax Slayer Bowl. We're trying to compete for championships. And I think when you look at it from that perspective, you can see the areas of strength and you can see the areas of weakness. And they know that. They get paid millions of dollars to evaluate that stuff. So
that's right.
You can trust that they're going to address it coming up into the summer and with the portal season. Like we said, now Florida State is able to contact people for the first time in a week since it's open. So it'll be exciting to see where they go. We haven't seen anybody really, like, outside of Greedy Vance and Jaden. I forget his name. A couple of the guys that have made their way.
Yeah.
Jaden Floyd have made their way out. No real big names yet. So we're going to be keeping a watch on that too. Now to close things out, Michael, give me like about 2.5-3 minutes here. Let's talk about baseball real quick.
Yeah.
Florida State baseball, they did struggle a little bit this past week. They lost to Mercer, which, you know, baseball is a crazy sport. Midweek things do midweek things. They happen all the time. Then they end up losing the series to Wake Forest on the road. Now, they did get one game. They won game two. And they lost game one and three. Game one was close. I mean, it was a one-run game. And then they had game three won, and it slipped away from them. We kind of saw a little bit of what happened with the Clemson series.
Yep.
Man, the thing is, like, I think what you have to look at, because some people might be getting a little bit worried after stacking up a couple losses here. But the important thing to me is to remember, first off, Wake is a good baseball team. They were top 15. They were number one in the country coming into this season. You still won a game. You were still right there in game one and game three. You're still down two of your weekend starters in Cam Leiter and Connor Whitaker. Maybe if you have one of those two, you end up winning, you know, you win the series or something. You did lose the game that Jamie Arnold was pitching for you, but I think the fact that you were able to be that close in the series and still win a game and not get swept, being down that many important arms, was still a good sign. You know what I mean? It's like there's no moral victories in Tallahassee.
That's right.
Especially for a team that's 31-8. But again, man, I just want to say that because coming up, you have a really tough series at Duke.
Yep.
And then you also have NC State, who's having a really good year. So if you don't get, and I don't know the status of either one of those guys, I'll have to do some research on that. But if you don't get either one of those arms back, that Duke series is going to be tough. The NC State series is going to be tough. But hopefully you can get one of the two. And then I will say that you do close with Pitt, who's having a really bad year. So you should win that one. And then Georgia Tech, who's pretty okay. You should be able to win that one too. And you have midweeks against North Florida, Jacksonville, and Stetson. So you still have a chance, you know, probably to get to that 35-plus win area. I hated to see another opportunity slip away in that Wake series, but man, I think you have to keep in mind that you're missing some key pieces. And you know, in baseball, we saw how important it was with football and quarterback and all that stuff last year. But you know, imagine if you hadn't had Tate or Brock to turn to. Now you're getting way down the line. So like that's kind of what baseball is dealing with right now. But yeah, man, I still think you got one of the games. You have some tough series coming up, but you have some opportunities to end on a strong note with Pitt and Georgia Tech as you go into the ACC tournament here in Charlotte.
Yeah, I mean, listen, baseball is a long season. You're going to have games like that. You're going to have injuries that you're going to have to deal with. Link's going to have to try to, you know, figure out how to put a game together, manage a game with those injuries. But you're in second place. You're two games back of Clemson. The season's not over yet. You still have a chance. You go into Duke. You give it your all. You walk out of there. You figure that out. You go into NC State. You know, they're two games behind you. So you just got to get two or three if you can try to win the series there. You get that Pitt game, and you know what? Either you're walking into the ACC tournament as the second seeded team, or if you catch a break and Clemson, you know, takes a dip, you're the first place team. Everything is still there. You just cannot let this snowball. That's the thing about baseball. It's all, man, if there's anything that is momentum based, it is baseball. If you let one thing snowball on the other, you get in your head, you start swinging at pitches outside the zone, you start seeing ghosts when you're pitching, man, all those things. And so I feel like when Florida State, when they went through that slump with the Clemson game, Link was able to get them back on track. I believe he'll be able to do it again. And I'm going to go ahead and say that I think we end the season well. I don't know what well looks like, but I think we end the regular season well going into the ACC tournament. And listen, You get those boys in the ACC tournament, my money's on them.
Yeah, and that's what we're hoping for. And like you said, it is a big momentum thing. It is a mental thing. And that's why I say that there is a little bit of concern with Duke and NC State coming up. But then you can end with a little momentum with Pitt and Georgia Tech. So who knows? Maybe you grab one of those two series between Duke and NC State. Maybe you get both. Who knows?
Yeah,
that's right. I mean, baseball, again, is a crazy sport. Clemson, yes, like you said, the number one team in the ACC, got their absolute doors blown off by Kennesaw State 18-1. They're fine. So it's, you know, the Mercer thing was a little concerning, but I think you survive it. You know, you just got to kind of find ways to get that momentum back. And then hopefully you get at least Cam Leiter, who had some positive injury reports early on, a little bit more positive than Connor Whitaker's was. Hopefully you can get him back in time for the ACC tournament or at least the postseason. Right now, I mean, D1 baseball's got you projected to host a regional. So that would be nice to have him back for that as well. Of course, softball still rolling. They've been stacking some victories, which has been nice. And basketball actually has some recruits. So we might have a team next year, Michael.
It looks like we have a team.
We got a 6'11 forward from Canada, and then you also got another high school recruit. So, man, I'm just
did you see the tennis team won the men's tennis team won the first ACC championship in the history of the program? Congratulations to them.
Kudos to them, man. I'm telling you, like, between them and you know, they're coming up, and then you got soccer just doing their thing all the time. So Florida State, man, we got some other sports that are carrying us over to the promised land when football comes back in the fall. But there's plenty of reasons to be obviously enjoying being a Seminole, but that's gonna do it for us, guys. We appreciate you guys watching. That's kind of how things roll out after the spring. We'll, of course, be back with some more episodes. You got the NFL draft coming up.
That's right.
Of course, the portal is going to be in full swing. ACC versus FSU lawsuit updates are coming in right now. So check back with us later in this week. We'll have some more episodes for you guys. Make sure you check out Alumni Hall FSU. Get some great FSU gear for 10% off with code SPEAR. Appreciate you guys supporting that. Support us. Like this video and subscribe to stay tuned with your source for authentic FSU coverage, Plant the Spear. Thanks so much for watching, guys, and we'll catch you on the next one. As always, go Noles.
Go Noles.